ChipChat is moving iTunes channels. Visit our website at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm and click on the link for iTunes to subscribe to the new feed. Welcome to ChipChat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Good morning. We're live from San Francisco. My name is Allison Klein, and today we're recording ChipChat from the Intel Developer Forum. It's our second day of recording and the first day of IDF. And I'm going to go to our first interview with Greg Scott, Cloud Storage Strategist with Intel. Welcome, Greg.
Well, thank you for having me.
Greg, I'm just going to start off with a question. What is it like to be a Cloud Storage Strategist, and what is Intel's role in the storage arena?
Intel's actually been in storage for quite a few years. We've been, much more prevalent in storage for enterprises. If you look at some of the traditional storage systems made by like EMC and NetApp, we're, very much involved in their system development. We've developed special capabilities and features to help improve storage functionality for those enterprise workloads. And for as cloud's been evolving, we've been looking at, how can we take Intel technology and capabilities and apply that to help solve the problems that are being seen in cloud environments and cloud deployments of storage.
When you look at the cloud and internet service providers, are they actually deploying storage in different ways than a traditional enterprise would?
Very much so. So most of the cloud vendors have a very different problem for what they're storing than, say, a traditional enterprise. If you go back, particularly several years ago, the mass amount of data that was being stored by enterprises was more structured data, or data that's sort of, think of it as in databases, so things from ERP systems or other type of relational database systems. So very structured, kind of row and column type data, which had a whole different way of being accessed and a whole different way of being able to be managed and maintained. What most of the cloud providers are storing are unstructured data pieces. Mm-hmm. So these are pictures, videos, tweets. All of this stuff has to be stored, and it's held and stored in a very different way than a traditional database would hold it.
And when you look at the transition to the growth in amount of data, if you think about a Facebook, for example, and the massive amounts of data that they're storing, how do they create a storage infrastructure, if you want to walk us through this a little bit, that can actually access that data in real time so that the user can see all of their friends and all of their updates when it comes to such a complex relational database?
Sure. So one of the most important points of it is that they distribute the data across a large number of systems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about not only finding the data, it's getting the data, it's holding and storing the data, and most people expect information to be there from here on out. Sort of an interesting model about Facebook. People used to take pictures with their digital camera. They used to take and download it on their laptop, and they could share it on their laptop or their desktop or mail it to friends. Now people have cameras that take pictures and immediately upload it to their Facebook account, and that sort of is becoming the new residence. So the ability for data to be managed and maintained for very long periods of time, very large volumes of it, it really requires the ability for the storage system to expand seamlessly and be able to be very easily managed so that as more and more capacity comes on, you can continue to kind of scale out that storage.
And when you talk about these kinds of data, you talk about them in terms of being unstructured. Tell me what that actually means for those folks who don't follow this space. What is an unstructured data versus structured data?
Unstructured data is typically like file data or data that's like a video or an audio file. Those are things that don't fit neatly into a essentially row and column structure. So the structured data is really database information. So things, you could think of your address book as being something you could put into a database. It's got a name, it's got an address, it's got a phone number, all text, all very simple, very structured.
Defined fields in a way.
Yes, exactly. And unstructured is, it just could be giant blobs of data. It could be binary pieces of information. It could be pictures.
And what's the difference in growth between structured and unstructured right now?
So structured is growing. It's still growing, and we foresee it growing. According to IDC, it'll grow at about 20% year over year. But if you look at the unstructured data, and another class of content. They call content depots, which is sort of this cloud kind of storage. They're growing at beyond 50%, upwards of 70% year-over-year growth. And that's really where we see the explosive growth.
So if we looked back in time about 10 years, Intel's role in storage was fairly minor compared to where it is today. You know, major inroads in terms of getting Intel inside of storage devices. What do you think that gives the storage industry in terms of having a common foundation of Intel architecture across server and storage? And when does a box become a storage box versus a server box? And are the lines blending a little bit?
The lines are definitely blending. You know, traditionally storage boxes were systems that were dedicated to storage functions only. And what we're seeing as more and more intelligence needs to be added to those systems. So if you go back just a couple years, features like data deduplication and compression were just starting to come on. And that really required a lot more processing power than was needed in earlier generations, where it was just essentially taking data off of a network and putting it onto disks. The system now needed to process that data. It needed to look for duplicate parts. It needed to see if it could compress it and make it smaller. The system to do that required quite a bit of intelligence, and that's where the Intel processor really plays well. As we continue to go forward now, we're seeing people that are taking and building on top of that intelligence and saying, well, now I can put workloads on my storage system. And so now we're starting to see that server storage line starting to blur even more, where you see systems like Hadoop, which are very popular for some of the big data analytics systems. You could kind of think of that as almost a cross between a compute and storage platform. You have data local, and you have a compute engine that's analyzing that information.
When you look at stuff like that from an end customer perspective, and I think that yesterday we had sirens on our live cast, and today I think we've got some construction noise, so apologize to those who are listening live. When you look at that and you see this blending, what does that mean from an end customer, you know, an IT manager who's looking at architecting their data center and trying to select the technology that's going to best meet their needs? Do you think that there's confusion out there, or do you think that they understand exactly where these technologies are trajecting to and how to implement them from an enterprise perspective?
I think their enterprise customers are largely looking at storage systems in more of a traditional model. They're starting to experiment and evaluate technologies like Hadoop that can look to get more information or more value out of the data that they're storing. The challenges are that as storage systems become more complicated, being able to manage and being able to understand how those systems interact with the rest of the data center, how do they interact on the network, how do they interact from a compute side, how do they manage them, how do they maintain them, and then as data grows in size, how do they expand those systems, and how do they do that in a way that's simplistic, but yet gives them the flexibility to be able to deal with all the different types of data and all the new usage models that are coming at them.
And then the other question that I had is, you know, how do you manage all of this stuff? When you look at the complexity that we're entering into in terms of, you know, heterogeneous types of data, the sheer volume, and the growth that IT managers are having to contend with, do you see new technologies emerging to help harness the data into something manageable and useful for the enterprise?
Definitely. So there's kind of two aspects of it. First of all, there's managing the systems that hold the data, so you got to be able to find it and hold it. So we're seeing systems like object storage systems that are coming out, distributed parallel file systems that are being able to deal with the large size of the data. But then there's new applications, like I mentioned before, Hadoop, that's coming out to really help you take advantage of that data. So in kind of more of this emerging of this big data, it's really the opportunity to take back and look at this information that enterprises are collecting and start to actually gather important, meaningful information that they can then create action plans on. So if you think of looking at what kind of products are being purchased through your site, if you're an online retailer, being able to analyze that history and being able to pick products that they can add or offer up to new clients.
So you hit the magic words, which was big data. So now I've got to ask you about that, Greg. I didn't know how long I was going to get in our conversation today with us without going there. When you look at big data, you know, obviously this has roles, and I think that, you know, you mentioned Hadoop with the web tier players really utilizing, you know, being at the forefront of using that technology, but it's also applying to the enterprise and applying to HPC. How do you see this evolving across these traditional segments of the market? And are we seeing a blending of lines there as well in terms of how we break out the segments of data center computing?
There's definitely a blurring of lines. There's still usage models that are there, but the systems that handle them are becoming more fuzzy. So we tend to look at some of the cloud computing or the dealing with big data. We look at storage in sort of three basic usage models here for some of these distributed systems. We look at it from kind of just the bulk mass storage of data. So these would be things like the photo buckets and Amazon S3 type services, these big object stores. They're going to hold data. Data is written there. It's read somewhat infrequently relative to the scale of the systems. Then there's data fast, what we call the fast data segment, which is really storage systems that are designed for, like you mentioned, high-performance compute. In those models, it's really about how a compute cluster accesses data. They want to see a unified view of this data. Mm-hmm. They don't want to look at it in little bitty pieces. They want to be able to have all the compute, all the thousands of nodes, be able to access the data. And they typically have a very big pipe, so they can pull in the data and write back the data. So a little bit more transactional in a sense. And then the kind of the emerging tier of storage, we call it intelligent data, but it's really, you know, looking at it the way technologies like Hadoop or some of these NoSQL databases look at it, where instead of trying to clump storage as one big grouping, they take and they distribute it across a large number of systems. And then each of those systems participates in actions on a small piece of that overall data set. And so now what you're transferring in that model is just the results that you find. So if you look at Hadoop and you think about it doing a big search, it takes a very large data set, breaks it into a bunch of small pieces, puts each of those pieces on a server. Those servers search that data locally and then send the results back out. So now the network that connects them is much smaller.
So if you think about it, and let me make sure I get this right. So the first example is almost like you've just got a huge bucket, and every once in a while you go in to find something because you want to fetch that data. But there's not a ton of analytics going on there. Correct. Second tier is a beginning of analytics, but more traditional enterprise applications or?
More traditional HPC, so it's more scientific-type workloads. The part that we start seeing blur together, if you look at how HPC applications are evolving, they've been traditionally very analytically focused, you know, running simulations, a lot of floating point calculations. But more and more, they're needing to do things like analysis of the data. They're looking for relationships in the data, so using things, tools like Hadoop and GraphLab to be able to understand the data that they generate, how does it come out? So you look at a life sciences workflow. They do, where you're looking at genome analysis, they do a lot from getting information from the genome sequencers. Mm-hmm. They have to do a lot of mathematical processing to get accurate data, but then they go look through a larger data set to see what are the differences, what are the relationships, what can they learn from a larger sample size of that, about that particular genome that they've pulled together. So those workloads are starting to blur, and they're needing to have both types of functions going on, not just, well, I'm going to only do my floating point calculations on this system, and then I'll have another system that'll do something different. They're trying to merge those together more.
And then the third class really is distributed analytics across a number of different devices where everybody's doing their part.
Yep.
That's very cool. And I guess the last question that I have for you before we get to IDF is, where do you think Intel's innovation is going to surprise folks moving forward?
We're doing a lot on the computational side, but I think as you start to look forward to how these systems work in a network or in a cluster, mm-hmm. The coming together of technologies like non-volatile memory, mm-hmm. our processing power, our I/O capability, the networking to be able to bring these systems together will make a very powerful system for these types of large-scale problems.
Well, Greg, I think I'm going to have you on again to talk about non-volatile memory, because that's an interesting topic unto itself. But I did want to get to IDF. You're teaching at least one class at the event. I know you've got a class called Object Store Architecture and Testing Challenges and on Thursday, and then I believe you're on a big data panel on Wednesday. Is that correct?
I think the big data panel's on Thursday as well.
Oh, okay. Earlier. On Thursday as well. But and you're teaching as well on Wednesday?
I'll be sitting in a class on some big data topics as well, yes.
So for those of our listeners who are going over to IDF and want to hear more from Greg, please check out his classes and look for him in the data center halls at IDF, and I'm sure he'd be happy to continue the conversation on cloud storage, how the storage of the cloud and big data are transforming over time, and definitely go out and check out his class. But beyond that, Greg, how can people find out more about what Intel is doing in storage? Do we have a website, or do you have a way of getting in contact with you that you'd want to share with listeners?
So certainly they can contact me by email, greg.e.scott@intel.com. We do have websites on intel.com that talk about a lot of our role in storage. And there are several white papers up on the Cloud Builders website that talk about some of the different storage architectures, particularly for cloud, and how to implement and solve some of the cloud storage issues.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you for spending part of your very busy week with us today. I think it was an interesting chat. This is an area that's probably moving more quickly than most in terms of innovation, and good for it, because apparently the world is creating a lot of data, and we need to make more modern storage capabilities to keep up with the pace. So good luck with your class as well this week. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Steve Butler, CEO of TerraScale, to talk about single pane of glass management. And that should be an interesting interview as well. So please come back for our live cast from IDF.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.